Welcome to the Life Church Podcast. We are an Acts 2:42 community, a family on a mission to bring the life of Jesus to Warrington. We hope you are ready to hear what God has to say to you today through His Word and by His Spirit.
Great, thank you. Great, so we're looking at Acts chapter 1. It's a chapter we've been in for a little while. And the series that we're in at the moment, for those of you who dive out with our youth pastor, Ian Jones, we probably have the most mature youth pastor in the whole of the world. But he has a lot to give, and that's why we appreciate him. And that's good, Howie, thanks. Yeah. Levi always has a sense of disappointment when he's got to listen to his dad preach. So he listens to his dad preach every day at him, probably. So, but this morning, particularly young people, we're looking at the book of Acts. So the book of Acts is probably, I think, one of the most exciting books in the Bible. Okay. If you know this already, forgive me, but it's good that we understand context, yeah? So the Bible, the 66 books, they are divided into two testaments, the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's very straightforward. The Old Testament comes before Jesus, okay? And then Jesus is born at the start of the New Testament. And then within the New Testament, which obviously started 2,000 years ago when Jesus was born, within the New Testament, there are four Gospels. We know what they are. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those four Gospels, they talk about the life of Jesus and the things that he did. And they're four different accounts of the same life. And so Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are really important books of the Bible, good books to read if you want to know more about Jesus and his ministry and the things that he did. But the book of Acts is the book that comes after that. And the book of Acts is a book that describes the life of the early church, the first Christians, people like us, who believed in Jesus. And the book of Acts describes what life was like for them after Jesus went back to heaven. Yeah? So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, at the end of the Gospels, Jesus ascends back to heaven. We'll read that in Acts chapter 1. And then the book of Acts talks about the early church. And the part of the Bible that we're focusing on is Acts chapter 1, which is literally the story of what the church did as soon as Jesus went back to heaven. Yeah? That this is the kind of the narrative we're looking at. And what Jesus tells them to do, which we will read in the Bible in a moment, he says to his disciples, he says, listen, I'm going back to heaven because that's always been the plan. But he says to his disciples, he says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you alone. He said, I'm going to heaven, but he said, it's good for you that I'm going back to heaven. And we might think, Jesus, what are you talking about? It's good for you to go back to heaven. And Jesus was saying that because Jesus as a person, he was fully God and he was fully man. Yeah, we can get into that another time. We haven't got time this morning. But Jesus was fully God and he was fully man. And because of his human restrictions, just like me and you, he could only be in one place at one time. Like, he couldn't be at Aldi and at Orford Church at the same time. He could only be in one of those two places. The wonderful thing about the Holy Spirit, who is the third person of the Trinity, it's the Father, the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. The wonderful thing about the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit can be everywhere at once. And that's why Jesus said to his disciples, listen, I'm going back to heaven, but don't worry, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is God's presence, God's person, and God's power at work in me and you as Christians. And so Jesus says to them in Acts chapter 1, as he goes back to heaven, he says, listen, he gives them one instruction, okay, one thing. He says, you need to wait in Jerusalem, which was like our Warrington. It's just a town. Wait in Jerusalem until you receive the Holy Spirit. And in Acts chapter 1, that is what we read together. What we see in Acts chapter 1 is we see the church, the people, People like you and me, the first Christians, they were in Jerusalem and they were waiting for the Holy Spirit to come upon them. Because they knew that if they were going to live this Christian life of following Jesus, they couldn't do it in their own strength. And that's the same message for us this morning as followers of Jesus. We can't do this journey of following Jesus on our own. We need one another, the church, and we need the presence of God in our lives, the Holy Spirit. And so we see in this first chapter of Acts, which tells the story, the 28 chapters in Acts, which tells the story of the early church, we see a people waiting persistently in prayer for the Holy Spirit to come upon them. Now, this morning, Life Church, the great news is that the Holy Spirit has now been given to the church. And this morning, I'm telling you, you could not have become a Christian unless the Holy Spirit was at work in you. Okay? It's the work of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, he shows us our need of Jesus. There was a time in all of our lives where we felt we didn't need Jesus, that we could do life on our own, that we ignored him. But there was a moment in time where in our heart, in our person, who we are, where all of a sudden we began to recognize, actually, I need Jesus. There's a God-shaped hole in each one of us that needs that relationship with God, okay? And it was the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, that put their hand, their finger on you and said, listen, you belong to me. And they introduced us and we felt drawn towards the person of the Holy Spirit. We got drawn towards the gospel. All of a sudden, spiritual things came alive to us. We didn't understand why, but it was the work of the Holy Spirit. So this morning, I don't want us to look at the Bible and think, well, I could never have the Holy Spirit. There are further experiences of the Holy Spirit we can have. That is absolutely true, and we believe that as a church, yeah? But let me tell you also that the Holy Spirit is already at work in your life, yeah? So Acts chapter 1, we'll read this chapter. It's always good to read the Bible together, and we're going to read the first 14 verses. We've read them a number of times. But remember, this describes to us the end of the Gospels. Jesus goes back to heaven. He tells them to do something, and they obey him. So, the writer of the book, the person that wrote the book of Acts, was the same person that wrote the book of Luke. Yeah? So Luke was like his first volume, and then the book of Acts was his second volume. And this is what he wrote, Luke. He said, in my former book, Theophilus, that's the person he was writing to. He said, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and he gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. Jesus appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, Jesus gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you going at this time to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power, that's power to live for Jesus, yeah? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After Jesus had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes on a cloud. And a cloud hid them from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back again in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they had been staying. Those present were, and these are the names of the disciples, without obviously Judas Iscariot, Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. And this is our verse. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. What we see in the Bible there is we see a group of people that were committed to spending time in prayer together. Jesus gave them one instruction. He said to them, "Don't leave Jerusalem until you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit that my Father has promised to you." We see in the scripture there, verse 14, the Bible says that they joined together constantly in prayer. Remember last week we were talking about the importance of unity, that where there's unity, God commands his blessing. Let me tell you also that God also commands his blessing where there is a people that know what it is to pray. And listen, don't be freaked out, don't be put off, don't be confused by the word prayer. Prayer is simply this, but wonderfully this. I'm not simplifying it to make it sound worthless. I'm simplifying it to show you how important it is for the Christian and how privileged we are as followers of Jesus to be able to do this. That prayer is, in its simplest terms, a conversation with God. That we can know what it is to converse with God. We've done it this morning. We sang our praises to God. That's a form of prayer. Some of us have prayed out loud. Others of us have had a sense of prayerful gratefulness in our hearts. All of that is a conversation with God. And we can have those conversations with God. We can speak to God, or God can speak to us. It can happen in lots of ways. In life group this week, we were talking about often, many of us, like we might connect with God through nature, through walking, through looking at the beauty of creation. Yeah, the Bible says, the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. Yeah, some of you saw that the other night when all of that amazing stuff was happening in the atmosphere and those beautiful colors, yeah? That's the way that some of us connect with God. Others of us, well, all of us really, we should read the Bible. Because you know what? You can read the Bible and there can be a verse that you've read 1,000 times before, or maybe 1,000's exaggerating a little bit, 3 times before, but on the 4th time that you read it, all of a sudden it makes sense. God speaks to you. That's the Holy Spirit making the Bible alive to us. That's how God speaks to us. God can also speak to us, or we can speak to him through just conversation, either with other people in the room or when we're on our own. Conversation with God and prayer with God, it's not a one-track pony, yeah? We believe in the priesthood of all believers. What that means is that we don't believe that there's one person in the church who's more important than anyone else, so only they can speak to God, yeah? That's not the way it works. The Bible talks about the fact that every single one of us this morning, if you love Jesus this morning, the great news is that you can know what it is day by day to have a conversation with God. And that is our experience. We see in Acts chapter 1 that they were told to go and wait in Jerusalem. Now, there are two ways that you can wait, yeah? You can either wait passively and be bored. That tends to happen when someone stood you up. Now, most of us these days, we don't know what it is to be stood up because we have these wonderful things called mobile phones, yeah? But let me tell you that when I was growing up, I used to have a mate called John. In fact, me and John, we still hang out together. He's the guy I go to football with, go and see Chelsea, yeah? And when I was growing up, there were no mobile phones. And so I'm still scarred by it, okay? I actually texted my friend yesterday and said, guess what story I'm using in my preach again tomorrow? He said, the one where you were stood by the 129 bus stop. I said, yes, you got it. He's told me I need to get over it. But I'm not over it, yeah? Because John, he would never get up out of bed. He was always late, yeah? And I used to stand at that 129 bus stop in Dargenham, and I used to stand there literally for hours, because there was no way of contacting him. And yeah, I remember one time I said, why are you late? He said, my mum wanted to cook me spaghetti bolognese before I came. Like, it's not a good answer. So there are times in our lives where we just kind of wait kind of passively. But that wasn't the kind of waiting they were doing. They weren't stood up at the 129 bus stop because their mate's mum was making them spaghetti bolognese, yeah? They were there because there was a sense of intentionality about their waiting. That sometimes in our lives, it's good for us to stop and to wait, not because we're waiting for something, not because we're in a queue at a takeaway and we're thinking this is fast food, this should be happening so much quicker. There's a sense sometimes in our lives that God wants us to wait on him because he wants us to experience the discipline of quietness and listening to his voice. The Bible says in Lamentations 3:25, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. Psalm 130, verse 5 and 6 says, I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, on his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning. And let me tell you, the watchmen watch for the morning with great passion because they've been up all night. And there's nothing more than the watchman wants than for the morning to come because they're tired and they've been in danger all night. So the psalmist there is saying, Lord, I wait for you. My soul wants you even more than the watchman at night is waiting for the morning to come. That's the desperation that the psalmist had. So this morning for us, as followers of Jesus, what can we be challenged about as we reflect on Acts chapter 1 and we see a church that was waiting and praying for what God had promised? Well, the first thing is this, is that when we pray, we act in obedience. When we pray, we act in obedience. If you were to say to me, well, Lucas, why should I pray as a Christian? Well, the first thing I would say to you is that it's a privilege to pray and it's a privilege to have a conversation with heaven about anything. And actually, we should do it more because it's constantly available to us. In fact, the Bible tells us that as Christians, it's good to have times of prayer, but we can know literally in our lives, if we choose to know what it is to pray without ceasing. That means that every moment of the day, there can be an acute awareness that Christ walks with us, that his presence is in us. It doesn't mean we have to walk around like this. It doesn't mean we have to walk around like this. It just means that we are aware that God's presence is with us all the time. But then there are those moments where we do need to particularly stop and pray. Don't tell me that I only pray in the car, yeah? I'm not a multitasker. Like, I don't pray in the car. I watch the road in front of me and make sure that I don't crash, yeah? So there need to be moments in our lives where we pray. And the early church, they went to prayer in Acts chapter 1. They did it as an act of obedience to Jesus. Jesus told them, he said to them, wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And that's what they did. Paul told the church at Ephesus to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Paul wrote to the church in Rome and he said this, be joyful in hope, patient and in affliction. He told the church, he said, listen, church, be faithful in prayer. He said, share with the Lord's people who are in need and practice hospitality. Jesus knew that it was important for us to pray. Jesus knew that in order for us to do the things that he wants us to do, we needed to be a people of prayer. And so in Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus lays out his manifesto for the church, the Jesus manifesto, which is found in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, there are three things that Jesus tells his church they need to do. He uses these three phrases. He says, when you give, when you pray, when you fast. It wasn't an optional extra. It wasn't something you could add on at the showroom when you've kind of chosen your color and the air conditioning system on the new model you're going to have. Like, that's not what Jesus was saying. Jesus was saying to his followers, listen, if you're going to follow me, you need to know what it is to pray. You need to know what it is to give. You need to know what it is to fast. And Jesus gives a little bit more instruction on praying. He says these words. He says, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Okay, what Jesus was saying there, he was saying, look, listen, prayer's important, but it's not praying so that everyone sees you, that they think, ah, they're really spiritual, they pray a lot. Yeah, that's not the idea. I trust that our prayers do encourage each other this morning. I've been encouraged by some of your prayers today. But Jesus was saying that prayer is a position of the heart. We don't pray and have conversation with God so that other people feel we're great. The reason why we have a conversation with God is because we think he's great and he thinks that we're great and he wants to have relationship with us. So Life Church, this morning, when we pray, we act in obedience. Second thing is this, that when we pray, we walk in dependence. In dependence. Notice the space between those two words. We walk in dependence. It's not that we walk independence. It's not like that we think like we're independent of God, that we can do it without him. St. Augustine said this, one of the early church fathers. He said, pray as though everything depended on God. Work as if everything depended on you. And there is a sense, Life Church, this morning, that we have to understand that actually when we don't pray, subconsciously we're saying this. When we don't pray, if there are days that go by and we don't acknowledge God in our lives, we don't read the Bible, we don't speak to him, like we kind of ignore him. And I know this morning, like there are no sticks in the room, we're not beating anyone. I'm saying this to encourage you, yeah? Like when we do things and we seek to do it independent of him or we don't pray, what we're saying is we're saying, actually, God, I don't need you. Like I can do this without you. And that's not our spirit and our heart this morning. We want to be a people that say, actually, God, I'm going to pray today. In fact, there was a DC talk back in the day. They said, you got to pray, pray, pray. You got to pray just to make it today. Yeah, I could try and rap it to you, but I won't. There is that sense that we understand that when we pray, what we're saying is we're saying, God, I need you today. I need you. And that's a good position for us to be in. Philip Yancey, he was an author and a pastor, he said this. He said, prayer is a declaration of dependence on God. We need to understand that Jesus' words in John 15, Jesus reminds his disciples and he says these words. He says, without me, you can do nothing. And as we even read the Lord's Prayer, when we read the Lord's Prayer, we admit our human weakness and our vulnerability. It's a good thing. Well, first of all, when we pray that prayer, we say, Our Father, we're dependent on him. We say, Lord, your kingdom come. Lord, it's about you. We say, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. We say, Lord, will you forgive us our sins? Lord, will you deliver us from the evil one? You see, there's a good dependence on God that comes when we acknowledge that we need him and we pray together. And we also see in the book of Acts that the Holy Spirit empowers the church and comes to the church because the church prays. Acts chapter 4, there's a prayer meeting that happens. And the Bible says that after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God boldly. In Acts chapter 13, there's a story there where they're going to send off the first group of church planters to plant the first churches. And they choose a guy called Saul. And they choose a guy called Barnabas. And they pray for them. And they fast for them. And the Bible says in Acts 13, so after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and they sent them off. You see, Life Church, there's this dependence on the Holy Spirit when we come and we pray together, okay? None of us this morning are strong enough or good enough in our own strength to live the life of following Jesus that's written in this Bible. You can't do it. It's impossible. If you just try and do it in your own strength, you'll fail. If we live our life like this, well, Jesus, I've trusted you, but now I'm just going to get on with my life and I'm not going to talk to you. I'm not going to interact with you. Like, we will fail. Like, the reason why I believe the church in the book of Acts, those first Christians, the reason why it seems that they had a degree of success in following Christ is because they understood that if they were going to do this journey of following Jesus, they needed to be a people that depended on God. So we see that they were obedient in prayer, and we see that they understood that in order to acknowledge their dependence on God, they also needed to be a people of prayer. And finally this morning, when we pray, we activate faith, or we activate our faith. Faith is an interesting thing. It's difficult to quantify because of what it is. But this is what the Bible says that faith is. And just to help us to kind of contextualize this a lot, yeah? Like, we live in a world today where everything is kind of seen, yeah? And that's all that people are kind of bothered about. It's like what they see, what they can touch, what they can feel, what makes them feel good, yeah? It's a very humanistic view of the world. But as followers of Jesus, we understand that our existence in the world isn't just about what we see and touch and feel. The verses that Jim read to us earlier, they remind us that what is seen is temporal and what is unseen is eternal, yeah? And so we mustn't neglect or negate what can be seen, but we also understand that in the Christian walk, there is the spiritual, there's this sense of faith as we follow Jesus. And this is what the Bible describes faith as being. Faith is the certainty of things hoped for, a proof of things not seen. And the writer goes on to say this, that by faith, we believe the universe was formed by God at his command. Like, I can't prove that to you right now, right here, but I believe that's true. I believe it's true that God formed the universe by his command. And you might say to me, well, Lucas, how do you believe that this morning? Now, there are some very clever scientists out there, Christian ones, who might be able to put some more legs on it this morning. John Lennox, particularly, he's a great theologian. He really loves the Lord. He believes in the creation narrative. But this morning, you want me to tell you how I believe that? I believe it by faith, because I believe that God created the heavens and the earth. I believe that you and me are different to animals on the earth because God breathed his spirit into us. It makes us different, yeah? And there can be all kinds of motivations for people why they wouldn't believe that. We don't have time to go into that this morning. But that sense of faith, when we pray, what we're doing is actually we are thinking and we are interacting with something that is beyond matter. It's beyond what we can see and touch and feel. And that takes faith. And every time we pray, even when we say this, Lord Jesus, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you've got a plan for my life. And thank you that you walk with me into today. You know what, this morning, when you say those words, you are activating faith. Because what you're doing is you're acknowledging and speaking about a God who is far beyond anything that we can see and touch. We can see his handiwork. We can see it when we walk outside of the door and we look at our lovely acre of mown grass there. You know, our God created that. The heavens, they might declare again in the Northern Lights this week. They might declare the glory of God. That might happen. But every time we speak and we pray, what we're doing is we're activating our faith. The Bible says that it's impossible to please God without faith, because anyone who wants to come to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. This morning, don't think that faith is something you need to attain, as it were, okay? I'm not saying to you, we've got no faith, we need more faith. I'm not saying that to you. I'm saying this morning that we are a people who are already in faith by nature of what we believe. And as we look at this, the early church, they are a people who are in faith because they trusted in Jesus, they believed who he was. That was a faith thing to do, but there was also a moment of faith that they stepped into. They had to go to a room and they had to seek God together for something that had not yet happened. And so what they were doing as they went to the room, they were activating their faith. They were saying, Jesus, you said that if we go and wait in Jerusalem, you're going to give us the prayer, you're going to give us the Holy Spirit. And so what they did, they said, listen, we're going to go and pray, and we're going to pray until we see God move in that situation. Whenever there are moments in our lives where we are praying and believing God for something that's not yet happened, we are activating our faith. That's not to say that every prayer we pray will be answered. Listen, if God answered every prayer that I prayed in my life, my life would be a right mess, yeah? I prayed some stupid things over the years, yeah? So thank God that God in his kindness did not answer every prayer that I prayed. But does that mean that I should stop praying? No, of course it doesn't. Because when there's something that I can't see that's happened yet, as I begin to pray into it, I activate faith. And that's an important part of prayer. It's not the only part of prayer. I actually feel challenged that actually the most important part of prayer and a conversation with God is, first of all, to be grateful and thankful, and to thank him for who he is and to thank him for what he's already done. I would go as far as to say, like, that needs to be a majority of our prayer, that we're just thankful people, that we're grateful, that we remember, yeah, that we surrender our lives to him. That's all part of prayer. But also another part of prayer is that we can bring our requests to him. And don't be afraid to bring your requests to him. You know, bring them to him. Bring them in faith. Say, Lord, this hasn't happened yet, but I believe that you're a God that works beyond what I can see now. And I believe, Lord, that you can work in this situation for me. And trust him that he will answer that prayer if it's according to his will and it's going to do you good. It's called the space of faith. So this morning, to finish, what's the takeaway? The takeaway is quite simple. This morning, Life Church, if we are to continue to connect in prayer intentionally with God, because of the nature of the world we live in, we need to disconnect from other things in our lives. Because life is so busy, yeah? Instagram has always got something to say. Twitter's always got a political opinion that we can reflect and think about. We live in a world where we can watch anything at any time on a screen. It's incredible. Those things are incredible. But the challenge today is that if we are going to be a people of prayer, that there need to be moments where we turn things off and we wait. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, it's still applicable today. He said, when you pray, he says, go to your room, close the door. And then Jesus says that whatever you pray for secretly, like, God will reward you openly. That's what it says in the Word. And for the early church, listen to this now, nearly finished. The early church, they went to a place to pray. Now, God can speak to you as you walk out of here and you turn left or right and you go home. God is with us everywhere we go, yeah? But I also believe that we need to have times in our lives where we just stop. For the early church, they went to an upper room, the 120 of them, they met together and they prayed. They encouraged each other. There was, for Moses in the Old Testament, we haven't got time for it this morning, but he had a tent. And the Bible says that he set it up some distance from the camp. Why did he set it up some distance from the camp? He set it up some distance from the camp because he knew that if he was going to meet with God, he needed to be away from the nonsense of life. And for us this week, the challenge to us is, when will there be moments where you go to a room, you close the door, and you spend some time with Jesus, yeah? You go to your room, you close the door, read a chapter of one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because as you do that, what you do is you begin to foster a relationship with the Holy Spirit, God's presence, God's power at work in us. And what that does, when we have those moments of prayer, reading scripture, when we go to our room, probably our bedrooms, we close the door, and we take 15, 20 minutes, half an hour to do that, what happens is our spiritual man is built up. We do not do it because we have to do it. There is nothing in here that says you have to do it, yeah? We do it because as followers of Jesus, we have the privilege of spending time with him. We have the privilege of being a people of prayer, of reading the word. But also, we have the wonderful privilege that he is with us at college. He is with us at school. He's with us just as much in the workplace. He's with us as we travel on the aeroplane or we're in the car driving. He's with us all the time, yeah? It's just that we need those moments where we can shut everything else off and we can just simply enjoy his presence. That's what he wants to do. And all of this is they were preparing themselves for Pentecost. And Pentecost was the time when the Holy Spirit would fall upon the church. We have received the Holy Spirit already, and that's something to be grateful for in our prayers this week as we head up towards Pentecost next weekend. So, Lord, we give you thanks this morning that you're a God who's alive and you love to speak to your people. I pray, Lord, I pray for myself this morning, Lord, that you will unplug my ears, that you will open my eyes and my heart, that you will continue to give me a deeper appetite for the Bible, Lord, to be around other Christians, Lord, to listen to music that glorifies you, just to build my spiritual man so that this week I am equipped to do the things that you call me to do. Lord, I pray for us all this morning, everyone in the room that loves you. I pray, Lord, again, that you'll remind us that you love to spend time with your children. And Lord, you've given us your word. I pray, Lord, that as we read the Bible, as we spend time with you, as we talk with our Christian friends about things to do with you, that you'll grow us to become the people of God that you've called us to be.
We've come to the end of this week's message. We hope you've been impacted and inspired. Please keep up to date with everything that's happening by visiting our website at www.lifechurchwarrington.com.